couple weeks ago, there was a splash of publicity over what was said to be the largest single private donation to a cultural organization in the history of British Columbia. Did you catch that one? The Chan family made a donation, a pretty sizable donation. That's the Chan family of the Chan Center down on UBC campus. They donated $40 million for the Vancouver Art Gallery's $350 million building project. Maybe not surprising, the gallery's new building will be called the Chan Center for the Visual Arts. This is an extraordinarily large and generous gift. But like much philanthropy these days, the gift involves, well, maybe more than a little self-interest. Attaching the family name to this building, this institution, will provide untold free publicity and goodwill and accomplish more than any paid advertising campaign. When I was reading the story online, the response, interestingly enough, wasn't all positive. One commentator said, "The name should remain the same, the Vancouver Art Gallery. The majority of the funds came from the public taxpayer, not one family." Another chimed in, "Why do rich people feel compelled to have their name on any building they can? As a philanthropist, he should donate anonymously." Well, I wonder if these people who are critical of that gift would have similar complaints about religion, about our worship practices here. At its best, religion is about honoring God. At its best, Christian piety is a grateful response to God's grace. But religion is also impacted, sometimes upended, by self-interest. Those very acts that were intended to bring us closer to God can become, well, a means of feeding our egos, a way of honoring ourselves. Today in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus paints a humorous caricature of some religious folks. Maybe see if you can capture some friends or maybe yourself in this picture. "Here come the alms givers into the courts of God, accompanied by the brass section of the symphony. They give a few dollars to this cause and the trumpet's fanfare. A few more dollars to another cause and the trombones bear a salute. Everyone watching says, 'My, they are generous.' Jesus says, 'Truly I tell you, they have received their reward.' And over there, people praying. You know they are praying because everyone in the room knows they are praying. People blocks away may hear their praying, and their words go on and on and on, always stretching for one more crumb of emotion and another shred of humility. People listening to them say, 'My, my, they certainly pray well.' Jesus says, 'Truly I tell you, they have received their reward.' And then here come people fasting. You know they're fasting by their gaunt faces and their eyes crazed by the lack of sugar. They have mussed their hair and torn their garments because you have to do something to show people you're fasting. I mean, the problem with fasting is that no one can see what you are not doing. What's the good of that? So these folks stagger during the fellowship time and dramatically wave away the goodies. They say out loud, 'No sugar in the coffee today.' Onlookers will declare, 'Oh, wow, they certainly are religious.' Jesus declares, 'Truly I tell you, they have received their reward.'" Now this is Jesus. We're exaggerating what Jesus did, right? And he was painting a humorous picture. Our use of religion As Presbyterians, well, it's not so obvious. We tend to be more reserved people, a little more understated in our ways. If we're going to attach our name to anything, it's going to be in small print at the very bottom, right? And so you might need a micrometer to judge whether a Presbyterian is really honoring God or whether they're just glorifying themselves. But let me ask you, so where is your heart today? Reflecting on Calvin's emphasis on soli deo gloria, to God alone be glory, one commentator remarks that any attitude or influence that causes us to think chiefly of ourselves and the impression we are creating detracts absolutely from the chief end of faith, which is to know and be known by God. So are we thinking of ourselves in worship? Are we thinking of the impression that we are creating? Jesus warns us that using religion for self-promotion is really a poor choice, a bad investment. It might seem to meet a need at the moment, but there are really no residual benefits. Instead, Jesus encourages us to keep our focus on our Heavenly Father. He tells us that directing our attention to God has much greater value. Moreover, the benefits that are experienced in the present stretch all the way into the future. Tom Wright argues that, as with other references to heaven and earth, we should not imagine that when Jesus talks about treasures in heaven, he means, don't worry about this life. Don't worry about this life. Just think about the next one. No. Heaven is where God is right now, and where, if you learn to love and serve God right now, you will have treasure in the present, not just in the future. It's not a deferment. It's an extension. Think about it as you just think through those acts that Jesus described, those practices of generosity, prayer, and fasting. Well, so what does sharing accomplish in our lives? Well, I think it goes a long way in reminding us of God's ongoing care for us, right? Sharing with others reminds us of God's care for us. We give that $20 and we recognize, you know what? That didn't hurt. And you know what? I got a few other bills left in my wallet and a lot more in the bank. God's been good to me. Prayer helps us understand what God is accomplishing in our lives. You know, prayer, if we're listening, not just laying out our petitions, but it reminds us of what God is doing, what God has done, those thanksgiving prayers. Oh my goodness, God, you have done all of this week. I am so grateful. Fasting, if you do it, teaches us what is ultimately important. I don't know about you, but I'm always wondering what's for supper, right? You know, it's easy to get wrapped up in that, right? These small things. Taking a break from food, just for a short while, reminds us that there are things even more significant than that focaccia bread with that nice glaze. All these Christian practices of generosity, prayer, and fasting, well, they can be valuable for today, tomorrow, and far in the future if they're used for their ultimate purpose, to know God, to glorify God. But what do you do? What do you do if you are, you know, you've asked yourself this question and you realize, yeah, you know, when I give, I like to let other people know. When I pray, I sure don't mind if other people overhear, especially when I got a good phrase in there. And if I'm going to fast, and I don't really fast, but if I did, boy, I'd make sure that the whole family knew. What if you know, what if you recognize that you are misguided in your religion? Well, Jesus tells us you can do something about that. You can adjust your focus. He provides direction on how to live out our piety so that our heart stays in the right place. When it comes to your giving, he lets us know, well, let it be modest, undemonstrative, almost anonymous, done in secret. When it comes to your prayer, let it be quiet, private, brief, as direct as the Lord's Prayer. Interesting, that model he gave us. I don't know how many words are in the Lord's Prayer. It's interesting thinking about that, how long our prayers ought to be. When it comes to fasting, no ostentation, no display. Wash your face and comb your hair. Jesus believes that if we adjust our focus, our loyalty will follow. He sums it all up: where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where will you put your treasure this morning?